91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour we discuss the most frequent phobia among Americans. No, not the fear of heights, snakes, spiders, crowds, elevators, or airplanes, but the fear of public speaking. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. The paralyzing effect of speaking before a group or performing on stage is acted by the fight or flight response built within us all. A racing heart, dry mouth, damp hands, and trembling afflict many people, yet other people relish being heard. Stage fright has left numerous performance careers in peril as well. We'll discuss the malady this hour and take listener calls after checking the news.
Seven minutes after one, welcome back to Tuesday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
Nice program today, I think.
I think so. Well, most everyone has felt some discomfort upon speaking before an assembled group. It's common. For others, public speaking can be agony.
We may address a mere handful of acquaintances or an assembled throng of strangers. We may have prepared text or speak off the cuff, but anguish may still rule.
Today we'll examine the phenomenon and hear from listeners like you about these experiences or about the paralysis of stage fright.
With us is Broward College Faculty Advisor and Associate Dean of Business Administration, Matthew Rocco. He's a Toastmasters International President and has established a chapter at Broward College for students and employees.
He's a mentor for public speaking, communications, and leadership skills, and we welcome you, Matthew Rocco.
Welcome to be here.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
I like these somewhat high-risk things, the scuba, I've gone hang gliding, I've gone skydiving. I like a little bit of risk. I don't know, maybe that's why I do this. I saw a thing, actually, a study that said speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two? This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy.
Okay, of course, that's Jerry Seinfeld. So, Matthew, what is it about public speaking that terrifies people? I came up with being judged, a fear of not being perfect, a fear of failure, and a fear of exposure.
I really think it's a combination of all of that, and also just not knowing that they have the skills within them to be able to get up in front and speak to anybody on any topic anywhere and just have the confidence. And sometimes I think it's really not having an avenue of knowing where to go to get the help in that. Especially in college, you can take a speech class once or twice as part of a requirement, but beyond that, you may not seek extra help, which I think no matter where we're at in life, what we're doing in life, we always need to have the ability to communicate, lead people, articulate, and be concise. And I think that it's just sometimes a matter of not knowing where to go. Or sometimes,
But there's also an aspect of, some people will say, I'm just shy. I don't want the attention. I don't want the limelight. I don't want to hear my voice. I don't want to be in front of a microphone. And it physically, they have physical reactions, the fight or flight reaction.
Right. And I think that's pretty accurate too. So I think it's a hard thing to diagnose because there's so many different reasons why people are afraid of speaking in front of somebody.
Is it more common among people who have anxiety, not necessarily an anxiety disorder, but just anxiety?
High-strung people?
Yeah, or is it just, is it an equal opportunity affliction?
I think it's an equal opportunity affliction. At our Toastmasters chapter at Broward College, we have people that come for all different reasons. Some of them can speak pretty well, but there's certain aspects that they want to focus on in their public speaking abilities. Or we have some that are deathly afraid of speaking, that would never have gone to a Toastmaster meeting if it wasn't for someone that has been a Toastmaster before, that's encouraged them to come, or even a faculty member at the college that knows the importance of public speaking and will encourage their students to go. We have a lot of wonderful faculty here at Broward College that contact me and say, hey, I'd love to bring a bunch of students with me, or I'd love to send a few students. Would you mind? I said, not at all. This is what we're here for. Please send them so we can really show them the value of what it is and how it will benefit their life as well.
I wonder if sometimes the venue has an influence. You may be very competent in your job and be able to speak with colleagues in the same profession. Say you're an IT specialist and be able to speak fine. Mm-hmm. But suddenly at a wedding or a funeral, they say, would you please say a few words? And it's a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think the impromptu speaking is actually something that terrifies someone tremendously. It's easy to prepare something, to rehearse it, to practice it, and then deliver it. But there's still some nerves with that. But it's the fact of being able to speak on any topic, anywhere, on anything, I think is what scares people. And a lot of what we do at our Toastmasters meetings is impromptu speaking through table topics. And someone is charged every week with developing 5 to 7 topics, preparing them, and then giving them to someone to speak on.
And how are you at table topics?
Me personally?
Uh-huh.
When I first started Toastmasters, I don't think it was very good. I think it was very nervous.
Did you go to Toastmasters originally to hone your skills or bolster your confidence?
I did. I was working at that time. It must have been in 2005. I was in transition between undergrad and doing my MBA. And I worked for a company called Marcus Millichap. It's a commercial real estate investment brokerage firm. And a lot of it is business development, talking to people, persuading people, articulating things. And a lot of people there actually went to Toastmasters, and I've always heard about it, but I never knew what it was. So they encouraged me to go, and they said this would be great because it helps you with presentation skills. Personally, I was never deathly afraid of speaking, so I that didn't really affect me, but it was really, how do I improve my skills? How do I get involved in some type of professional development to help me in my career? And that was probably the best decision I ever made because it helped me with leadership skills. I was able to become president of that particular Toastmasters chapter, so it helped with running meetings, dealing with people. So there's a multitude of different reasons.
Do most people come to Toastmasters to learn just how to hone, as you did, that they're already fairly competent at speaking, or do they come more as therapy because they're just terrified and think that maybe they can learn how to not be so scared at speaking?
It's both.
Yeah.
It's both. Yeah, if we poll our members here at Broward College, I think there's about 22 of us now, they're all there for different reasons. We have a mix of students that are there because they're deathly afraid. We have some faculty there that are awesome faculty that want to just improve upon their public speaking skills for the classroom. We have people that are not affiliated with Broward College that come to Toastmasters because it really is a community event, that are there because they want to build their professional development and maybe evolve in their careers. So it's all different reasons why.
I was thinking, as I was preparing this morning, I was thinking with the age of technology and with the ability to be so anonymous now in so many different venues online, that it must be gaining. I mean, the fear of public speaking and the fear of face-to-face contact, I was thinking, must be gaining momentum more than ever.
It is, from a standpoint of, I think technology is awesome. I think it's unbelievable what we can do, but I think it has been a big drawback because I think my personal opinion is we have really missed out on building some soft skills, which is really communication, public speaking, some critical thinking, time management. And my current role at the college, I'm in our corporate services division, and that's working with companies out there in community to help them build customized corporate education programs, whether it could be management, could be critical thinking, it could be team building, it could be IT related. But the one thing that I consistently hear is that our employees are very good at their job technically, what they do, but there's a big gap in the soft skills. And it's just not one particular industry. It's industry-wide.
And when you say soft skills, generally, are we just talking about communication generally?
Communication, public speaking, being able to write a report, but then taking the information and articulating that to your boss or to a team or to a board of directors. that employers are saying, for whatever reason, we're seeing a gap. There's a huge gap. And a lot of what my work involves is trying to help companies build curriculum to bridge that gap. There's a lot of conversations going on in Broward County about that. The Broward Workshop, which is comprised of the top 100 CEOs in Broward County, they've got a consortia research group going on right now on how to bridge that gap and what is really missing. So it's just a constant conversation that's being recognized out there. What can we do to build, bridge this gap in soft skills?
Our focus this hour, though, is on the fear of public speaking, the more emotional level. Talk about how confidence, if you have confidence and you have to speak in public, you're probably going to be successful. And I think a lot of people realize that the audience really wants you to be good. Because if you've ever been in an audience when somebody's up there and they are so scared and it's almost, and they're so embarrassed and they're dying up there, you feel so sorry for them. You say, oh, I just hope that he makes it out of this.
But I was reading, I think it was Olivier who had the fear stage fright. And I think one of his reasons, I think it was Olivier who... He said, everybody wants me to fail. Everybody wants me to make a mistake. It was just the opposite.
That was in his head, though.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's where all this
Even
is.
Even if somebody's dying on television, like a comedian or something,
right.
you feel such sympathy for them that you, come on, turn it around here.
Yeah, I agree. The confidence is huge. One way to build that confidence, I think, we all have an innate ability within us. There's a speech that I heard one time called Acres of Diamond Speech, and it's from a book based from Russell Cornwell. And the premise of the speech that I heard was, we're all acres of diamonds. And when you first pluck a diamond out, it's not very pretty. It's not shiny, but what do you have to do? You have to keep polishing it and polishing it and polishing it until that shiny diamond that everyone wants to see. So there's actually a speech that I heard at Toastmasters on that. We all have it in us, I think. It's just a matter of taking the first step in anything is the hardest thing to do.
How important is body language when you're speaking publicly?
Huge. Huge, I think. Because on one end, you don't want to have too much body language, and then it's distracting. But on the other end, you don't want to be up there presenting and then looking like a lame duck because you have no movement. So it's a real fine line. It's a delicate way of presenting on your body language. It shows emotions. If you're giving a persuasive speech and you have no body language, who's going to buy your argument or support your argument if you can't persuasively speak? So I think body language is huge.
And there's a fine line between having too much of being too flamboyant, where you come off like some sort of television evangelist.
Correct.
Or something, that yes. You're just way too much.
I agree. Yep.
So we're speaking with Matthew Rocco. He's a Broward College faculty advisor and associate dean of business administration, and he's the Broward College Toastmasters International president. And we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, talk to some of
Talk to our listeners, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk to our
some
listeners
stories.
And we'll talk to also some students. But for you, our listeners, do you have a fear of speaking in public? Have you overcome a fear of speaking in public? How did you do it?
Maybe relate a fiasco.
1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Or you can email radio@wlrn.org. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. And we're joined by Matthew Rocco. He's the Director of Corporate Services. He's the Director of the Corporate Services Department at Broward College. If you'd like to join in with a comment or a question, tell us about maybe some difficult speaking engagements you've gone through.
Or if you have a fear of public speaking and you want to write in.
Or if What about if you have a fear of calling in the radio show?
That's what I mean. So you can email.
You can cut on and you can and ah and do whatever you like. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, but we'd really rather hear from you, radio@WLRN.org. Bonnie, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
I'll answer the question first. I was thinking about what was the most difficult public speaking event I ever was involved in. Okay. And that was my parents' 50th anniversary celebration. They had a big dinner, and I was the MC. And it was a little difficult for me. They thought, oh, well, you're a professional radio guy, you know, so you should be able to do it. But that's really not what I do best. And I gave it my all, and I enjoyed it. But at first, I was had some shaky knees.
Well, I've emceed. You've spoken a lot of places. Hosted a lot, and I don't know. I always get a little nervous, to tell you the truth.
I get nervous doing this program if I've been away a couple of weeks and getting back. It's like I'm doing it the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I get nervous every day.
How about you, Matthew? What makes you
What's
nervous?
Been the most...
There's got to be a chink in that Toastmasters armor there.
Yes, I think it was probably maybe a year or so after I started Toastmasters, and the Toastmasters chapter I belonged to celebrated their 50th anniversary. And there were probably about 300 people at the dinner, and I had to be one of the keynote speakers. So that was probably the first time I ever spoke in front of a large group like that. So that was pretty nervous and nerve-wracking on that. But I think, just like you said, it's like riding a bike. Once you get involved, you pick it right up, and the nerves kind of lessen a little bit. But
actually, the most frightening things I've done are when I do Peter and the Wolf or the Pied Piper of Hamelin, which I've narrated several times, and that is with the orchestra and the audience and being on a stage like that. It's a little different, difficult. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, how important is it to be able to speak in public? I mean, how does it link to our communication skills and leadership skills? What does it have to do with leadership?
I think just inherently, when people see someone that can speak well, communicate well, articulate, they're almost seen in their eyes as a leader, someone that they can go to and seek guidance from, someone that they can call upon, that they know that they will go out there and do a good job, you know, whether it's your company or whether it's you're involved in a volunteer organization, and they know that you can represent us. I think you're just automatically seen as a leader. And in Toastmasters, there's many different leadership opportunities to get involved in, because every chapter has a board of officers, from president to vice president of membership to education to public relations to secretary. So it builds those leadership skills, because now you're involved in a board type of environment, and you're an officer in that type of environment. So you learn how to deal with people, you learn how to work with people, get things done, so build some of the critical thinking skills, and then you get to lead an organization. So I think that's a huge part of it as well.
Actually, that's what Chuck wanted you to talk about, the leadership aspects.
Oh, great question, Chuck. Yeah, huge.
Of Toastmasters.
Yep. If you're a veteran of Toastmasters, do you wind up kind of having a theme and variations of speeches where you have the same kind of beginning and exposition and the middle and an end?
I think at first you do, but I think once you keep doing some speeches, you start to change your variation a little bit, which I think is a hard thing to do if, you know, you feel that you're at a point in your career in public speaking where you're not there for certain reasons you came there from, or reason why you came there.
How about reading an audience?
Yep, I think that's part of it too. And I think that you evolve in your skill set in reading audience, being able to craft different messages, being able to do a series of speeches over again, but focusing on a different skill set. I think that no matter where we are in life, we all can improve on something. It's just finding that something that you need to improve upon.
I was thinking this morning, I was thinking maybe truthfulness is a factor. And then I thought, what about politicians? And I said, oh, I guess truthfulness isn't a factor. But it may be, but is it, you know, for the rest of us?
I think for the rest of us, we're there and we're giving genuine talks and giving genuine feedback and there for the truthfulness aspect. So, yeah.
Okay, we have one of the Broward College students on the line with us. This
is, I just want to say to our callers to just please be patient, because there are lots and lots of calls, and so Richard's getting to you as quickly as he can.
Eduardo, hello there.
Speaking, how are you?
Hey, Eduardo, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Rocco, President Rocco?
Very well, thank you.
Fellow Toastmasters and honored guests.
There you go, he's got the lingo down.
Yeah. Eduardo, how did Toastmasters help you overcome your fear of public speaking?
It's helped me so many ways. I mean, every day, every time that we have a meeting, things change. It's a great experience. Let me tell you, because the majority of us can all relate to being scared, and you know, about being the voice and having courage to speak about certain subjects or topics, or just reach a broad audience. It's we all can relate to being nervous, and nervousness, it's natural. It comes to us all. We all have the same butterflies in our stomach. It's a natural process. The great thing about this is how the skills that we nurture in this environment, it helps us to overcome. And now as we get deeper into technology in the future, you know, we're all accustomed to technology, but one of the main key factors that's important is communication. We need to communicate with one another. And sometimes we don't do that enough or do it properly because we're scared to, and we're worried about being judged on our speech, or some of us just, you know, stage fright, and that's normal. But this meeting, this chapter, this club, it helps you to grow and to overcome that, you know. Like you guys were saying earlier, it's a bike. You do it once, you do it twice, you just get the hang of it, and that's really it is. It's repetition. You know, practice makes perfect, and it's just really changed my life because I feel like I want to do like a higher calling in the sense of being able to communicate with people and you know, work on my speeches, because let me tell you, a great speech can do a lot of things. You have no idea what the idea that someone can present or get out there, a word, a thought, and what interest or new idea it can spark in another person's mind and creativity. So it's about reaching out to each other. It's about, you know, presentation, leadership skills. It's just, you know, tremendous qualities that we all, or most of us, try to strive for. And I just, you know, it's been a blessing ever since that I was able to become into part of this chapter. And I thank President Rocco and all the, you know, fellow Toastmasters.
Eduardo, have you ever heard the old adage in speaking of leave them wanting more?
I think that's the first for me right now.
Have you ever had to give a speech on something that's emotional, though? A eulogy at a funeral, or wishing a wedding toast, or something like that.
Wow, that's amazing that you just said that. And all honesty, November 15th, I just lost my grandfather from my mom's side.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he lived a good life. 92, almost 93 in December. It was just his time, and it was very emotional. And funerals, you know, it's very, very gloomy environment. It's like nobody wants to say goodbye. It's all filled with sorrow and remorse and condolences. But it was a beautiful thing because I use my skills in Toastmasters and my technique to, I would say, get me into, you know, position, and I, you know, calm myself down to think about what it is that I wanted to speak for my grandfather's funeral. Because my mother, she's not, even though I'm from the same from the same tree, she's not the same. She doesn't have the same confidence, and that's just, you know, from preparation. So she was nervous, you know, to speak, and she really didn't end up wanting to speak. So me and my sister took over. My sister had a written speech, so she had time to process her thoughts and what she really wanted to say. But my skills that, you know, I spoke right off the top of my head, you know, improvised right on the spot, and those are, you know, some of the traits that come from Toastmasters of, you know, improvisation and quick thinking.
We have a lot of callers, Eduardo. We certainly appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Eduardo. Okay. See you Thursday.
Thanks, right, Eduardo.
Oops. Let's take another caller. We've got Ray in Miami. Hi. Ray, you're up.
Did you say Ray? My phone just broke up.
Yes.
Yes, Ray. Hi.
Okay, fine. I've been a professional speaker for almost 40 years and subject of a Wall Street Journal article, which was terrific. Spoken to mostly Fortune 500 companies. And one of the questions I've been asked after so many performances was, what's the secret? I get nervous, okay? In fact, one of the companies was a black box company, so there were quite a few military there. And after one of my performances, this two-star general comes up to me to congratulate me and then say, I've got to confess. He says, I have to speak the groups, and I would much rather go into combat than get on the stage and give a speech. And I'm not exaggerating. He says, this is the truth. What can you advise? And one of the things I always told people is that, sure, everybody gets butterflies, including celebrities and people of renown, and people have done it 1,000 times. And I always told them, look, the secret is, if you get butterflies, make them all fly in the same direction. So do it any way that makes it easy for you. Some people single out, look at the audience and picture everybody naked.
Right.
If it works for you, great. Or some people like to single out an individual and speak to them to make it more conversational, depending on what kind of performance they're doing. But that's it. People get nervous, and you have to learn to handle it. And people ask me, you've been on the stage even before that all your professional life. Sure, you get nervous, you get edgy, but usually once you get out there, the adrenaline kicks in, and you're into whatever you're doing. So don't feel that you're alone being nervous.
Okay, good advice, Ray.
Thanks so much for calling.
Sure thing.
Okay.
We're speaking about the fear of public speaking, leadership skills, how it translates into the rest of our lives with Matthew Rocco. He's the director of the Corporate Services Department at Broward College. We'll be right back.
With the end of the year approaching, many people are reviewing their charitable giving to determine if there are additional gifts they'd like to make. The Community Foundation for Palm Beach and Martin Counties understands that gifts of any size can impact our community, providing new books for classrooms, bringing cultural programs to underserved neighborhoods, and supporting scientific research that saves lives. By partnering with the Foundation for Your Philanthropy, we can make a difference in the lives and opportunities of our residents together, now and in the future. Learn more at yourcommunityfoundation.org.
From the producers of Rent and Next to Normal, Carbonell Award-winner Slow Burn Theater Company presents Dogfight from December 3rd to the 6th at Aventura Arts and Cultural Center. This acclaimed musical is filled with impressive songs, an unexpected love affair, and a genuine and charming soul. Tickets available at the box office at 877-311-7469 or online at aventuracenter.org.
You're listening to Topical Currents on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 101.9 FM NPR for the Palm Beaches. We're funded by listeners like you and by Air Como. Does your business use compressed air or vacuum? Air Como's professionals have been servicing the compressed air and vacuum requirements of businesses in South Florida for over 15 years. More information at aircomo.com.
We're funded by WLRN members and by PNC Wealth Management. Their team of financial professionals is committed to helping you achieve your financial goals. More information is available in West Palm Beach from Shayna Peterson Sheptak at 561-650-1423.
Welcome back to Tuesday's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're chatting with Matthew Rocco. He's the Director of Corporate Services Department. The Corporate Services Department at Broward College, and we're talking about the fear of public speaking and public speaking. We have an emailer. Kia says, I've been with Toastmasters for 8 years. Not only did I learn to be a better speaker and listener, that's an important point, I've learned a lot from speeches given by fellow members who come from around the world in various careers.
I think, Kia, that's an excellent comment because in Toastmasters and the various roles, you really have to listen to people as they speak, and whether you're dinging their ahs or ums, we have a bell. Every time you say ah or you hear a ding.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Wow.
So talk about
that. Would be intimidating.
I still do that, of course.
Well, most of us do.
Okay. Awesome. Let's take another student. This is Rachel. Hi. Rachel. Speak.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Rachel.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to be here.
Good. So tell us about you and your how you got your internship, how your class in public speaking helped you do that.
Of course. My name is Rachel James, and I am a Broward College employee and former graduate as well. I just graduated in May, and now I'm a student at Florida Atlantic University as well. I heard about Toastmasters through an email. I just kept getting emails every week about Toastmasters and how to improve your public speaking skills. And at the time, I was, you know, very shy, very to myself. But that was something that I really wanted to pursue because I was in a position where I had to do orientations and also a lot of events for the college. So I was like, this is probably a good idea to learn how to communicate and communicate effectively, which was a big thing for me. So I ended up going to Toastmasters, and a few of my colleagues were there as well. And I think that support that they were there also trying to get better was just such a great feeling for me that I wasn't alone. And there was people like Matthew Rocky, who I thought was an amazing speaker. And even he had some issue that he was working on. Maybe he had maybe a grammar error. And it just, that's what Toastmasters is about. It's about improving. And I think that Toastmasters is for anyone and with any walk of life, really. Even if you're, you know, a new student or you're a professional, I think everyone can benefit from Toastmasters.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Rachel. It's Matt. Good to hear you.
Hi, Matt.
Rachel, how do you think that overcoming that fear has changed your life?
It has changed my life tremendously. I mean, I have had so many opportunities given to me because of the immense training that I received at Toastmasters and in other places, because I'm able to, you know, as a former student ambassador, I was able to speak in front of other students or maybe the board of trustees. And I'm really just one person representing, you know, a whole body, a whole student body. And that really changed my life, because now I'm even considering doing being a consultant professionally for the company that I'm with now, which is Workday. And that's something that I would never think to do, because like I said, I was very shy and I do get a lot of anxiety, like we were talking about earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. And this is really something that I'm still working on it. I did my first icebreaker speech maybe a week ago, and it was about myself. So, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, okay, I can talk about myself for days. I got this. And I finished the speech, and I had a lot of you knows, like, you know, like that's how I speak, and a lot of ums. And
you know, you never
know. When
I was
finished, yeah. When I was finished, I was like, wow. Even though I felt so confident going in, I still have a lot of work to do. And that's okay. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, Toastmasters is here to help you and for you to get over those things. So next time when I do my speech, it won't be so many ums and so many you knows. I'll be, you know, doing better, and eventually, hopefully, those filler words will stop, and I'll be able to, like I said, communicate effectively.
Was it harder to do the icebreaker speech or call into this radio show?
That's a hard one. I think it's harder to call into the radio show because my mom's listening, and
Hi, Mom.
I wanted to impress her. But I definitely think this is a little bit more harder because you don't know who's listening. But speaking in front of my fellow Toastmasters.
Oh, there's only about 30,000 people listening.
It's just
to you,
us. Right, it's just
all.
Us, Rachel.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate Bye-bye. It. We're going to take this next caller. I think this is kind of, we were talking about that earlier, that so many people with social media and online experience
right.
have difficulty speaking. Mm-hmm. But here we have a caller, and this is Freddie, who wants to know if there's an online course for public speaking. Freddie, what's that about?
I thought, thank you for taking my call. I thought that would create a chuckle among all of you, especially your guest speaker. I appreciate this program. I just wet my pants every time I call your radio station. I mean, I don't know why. I write the outline on paper. I have it in front of me. But once I get an open line and the screener comes in, oh, boy, it's the butterflies coming
okay.
in. Okay. My question, Mr. Rocco, is okay, so everything nowadays is online and Skyping. Do I require the presence of the audience presence of live people in a room in order to get that wisdom of how to overcome the butterflies and the nervousness.
Well, hopefully, Freddie, the people in the room are alive.
Right.
Okay. Matthew, how do you answer that?
The feedback is the key. Just doing it without feedback
Doesn't work. Okay.
So even if you're going to do an online forum, have those folks present. Make them give you feedback on the spot or on some type of evaluation form. But you need the feedback. I don't think you can grow without it.
And we'll move along to Minnie. Is it Minnie or Mimi? Fort Lauderdale. Minnie?
Yes.
Hi.
Mimi? Hi. Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, hi. My name is Mimi, originally from Fort Lauderdale. Born and raised in Haiti. Yes, I'm starting to feel the butterflies now, so I get it. My question is this. What is your take on the concept of visualizing the audience naked to stay focused when talking to an audience? I hear that all the time, and I just wanted to know, what is the idea behind that particular concept?
Just to kind of be an abstraction?
Well, it's to make them... Go ahead.
I think that's a very common thing that we hear is go out and visualize that person naked. I think it's whoever came up with that theory is just to ease your mind. We all have different ways to ease our minds. I can tell you one thing that I do is might be a little quirky, but when I know I'm going to deliver a presentation or run a meeting or something that I may get a little nervous about, I'll turn on smooth jazz and I will have that calm my nerves down and just envision yourself walking on that stage, delivering the best speech you can deliver, walking off that stage, knowing that you just rocked it.
Have quiet time or something like that to kind of breathe a little bit?
Or meditation.
Meditation is good. Mm-hmm. There's different ways for everybody, Mimi, but whatever helps you, I suggest or encourage you to keep using that practice to help you release some of those nerves.
Okay.
Okay, Mimi, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want one more call before the break, or...
Why don't we go ahead and break? We'll have more time on the other side.
Okay. Matthew Rocco is with us. He is the Director of Corporate Services Department at Broward College. And a short break. We'll be right back and take more of your calls.
And we return to this today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're speaking with Matthew Rocco. He's the coordinator of Corporate Training, Institute of Economic Development and at Broward College. He's also a veteran of Toastmasters. He's a president, and he founded the Broward College chapter of Toastmasters. Let's go along to some more calls. This is Huber Harris. He's also a student involved in Toastmasters. Hello there.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing, Huey?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
So, Huey, talk to us a little bit about how you think being able to speak in front of any audience on any topic anywhere has really helped you in the evolution of your skill set.
Well, yes, it has. I have to say, before I joined Toastmasters, I didn't really have the skills I needed to give like a great influential speech. You know, I lacked a lot of confidence. I went through a lot of anxiety attacks. And, you know, I would get that adrenaline release at times where, you know, the bigger the crowd, you know, it was just all over the place. And when I decided to join Toastmasters, you know, I just knew that I needed feedback where people can tell me of what I was doing wrong. So I attended a meeting, I became a member, and I have to say, with the first meeting that I attended, I was blown away. I was so inspired to become a member and know that I can actually make a change within myself to become a better speaker to influence others. You know, they say change only comes when value is created, and I wanted to leave people in a better place, but after I was done speaking to them. I have to say that I'm still practicing and I'm still improving on public speaking, but I can honestly say that I have gotten better, and it's all thanks to Toastmasters.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Huey.
Yes.
All right, my pleasure.
Okay, and all the best to you.
And we'll take a, the next caller is a Miramar caller. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, Vinit?
That's right.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I had a comment about your earlier point, which was honesty. So I'm not a professional speaker by any means. The one thing I've found to be valuable is to have integrity. And this is not in terms of the content of your message, which I think is absolutely important, but in terms of connecting with the audience. And if you are having butterflies, even acknowledge that sometimes. It's very helpful. The point is trying to be in line with the audience, connect with the audience, open up to your concerns. I think that helps a lot in terms of public speaking. That's my comment.
Matthew?
What's the subject of most of your speeches?
I'm a researcher by training, so I talk a lot of research studies, medical research. But even that, you know, sometimes there's a tendency for folks to feel, whoa, this is really different. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, how do you spice that up? Because it sounds kind of droll.
Right. It is. I try to draw a relevance to daily life. There are enough examples that you can pick up in your daily life and try to draw a relevance to that. And that's very helpful.
Matthew, what were you going to say?
And Vinit, thank you for calling in. I think you really have to identify who are you presenting to? Who's your audience? And knowing that will help you craft your message because it'll be different to everybody you speak in front of. The information may be the same, but knowing who it is, and you have to make it lively, have to make it interesting, and for them to want to hear you. So I think just apply it to who you're speaking in front of, knowing your audience.
Okay, thanks for your call. Have you ever had the opportunity to have to speak to a crowd that's negative, that maybe you're giving bad news or something that they don't want to hear?
In terms of a speech, no, but that is actually probably a speech to try to give.
To mollify people at the same time telling them something they might not
Well, like
hear.
You're laying off people.
Right.
And you have to give a speech telling them that,
right.
giving them that
like
news.
A State of a Union address or something like that.
Well, let's see, we have an attorney on the line. Maybe she can have some insight on that. Elizabeth in Fort Lauderdale. Hi.
Hi. I've been a lawyer for many, many years, a trial lawyer, in fact, and I don't know if Toastmasters was around even when I started practicing law, but I remember being very, very terrified every time I had to go to court and have a hearing or a trial, to the point that I asked my first law firm when I was a young lawyer if I could move into the real estate department, which they did not permit me to do. And I would have this incredible anxiety, and it was, I think, in my case, more about not doing a good job for the client and not winning. And so I finally had this epiphany when I was in the middle of this trial in Palm Beach County, and I had to write a closing statement at the end of the trial, and I was having a huge anxiety attack and not knowing what to write down. And finally, it just, maybe this seems really simple, but it just came to me that all I could do was prepare the best I can and then try to do the best I can and let go of the outcome. So I did that. I wrote a great closing. It had a great result. And ever since then, the way I've dealt with my anxiety is just to be super, super prepared. And instead of to want an outcome, just to plan to think that I know that I've prepared as best I can and I'm going to do the best I can. And I find that letting go of that outcome, oh, I have to win, in favor of being really prepared and doing as well as I can, has helped me to where I'm not nervous at all anymore. Mm. And I like speaking, and I actually speak in other venues now too. I've taught and I've done other things, and it's really, the preparation has been a big factor for me.
I suppose before juries, it's a much more stylized sort of speech that you give, and also you have the pressure and also the nervousness of thinking, well, I might be fighting for someone's freedom, or also fighting for a victim who has been horribly abused.
And that's, I think, one of the most important reasons why we need to be an effective communicator. Because if you're a lawyer, or you're a doctor, or a psychologist, whatever it might be, being able to effectively articulate that in front of a jury, because if you're a lawyer, your client's life may be on the line,
exactly.
or their whole economic future is on the line. So thank you for the call, Elizabeth. And I, you don't sound like you are, but if you were born before 1928, I think you could have found a Toastmasters chapter.
No, I'm not that old.
You didn't sound like it, but.
but I didn't know about Toastmasters way back then when I was so afraid. And I mean, it sounds like it's great training, and I could probably use it too, but I did overcome a great fear with the preparation aspect that seemed to help calm me down.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Elizabeth.
And let's squeeze in some more callers. Philip in West Palm Beach, hi.
Hi, my name is Philip. I'm in West Palm Beach. How are you?
Good. Good evening. Go ahead, Philip.
Great, thank you. Great topic today. You know, a couple of things the guest said really stuck out to me. When he said, if you're feeling butterflies, just make sure they're all moving in the same direction. That sticks out to me because that's a very visual way of dealing with anxieties. And, you know, most of the time that I've had to do any public speaking, I use visualization as the best tool to kind of calm myself and ground myself that I'm moving in the right direction. There's been a few times in the past couple of years that I've spoken publicly, and it's never been informational. It's always been more atmospheric for a wedding or a funeral or something like that. And, you know, the first one that I did, I was officiating a wedding, and I was adhering to the script, which to me is very uncomfortable. I think a lot of people would find comfort in just sticking to a script, but for me it felt very unnatural. There wasn't a lot of room for embellishment. And
for some people might not have wanted the embellishment.
Yeah, and I find that, yeah, I mean, I guess it didn't feel, you know, it wasn't comfortable to me because that's not my most comfortable style of speaking. But then, you know, I went to this other wedding of a dear friend of mine. He and his wife are both artists, and it was pretty loose, but a big event. And he told me the day before, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I think you could kind of be my best man. And I was like, thanks for springing that on me the day before. And that night I couldn't sleep. I outlined what I should say at the reception the next day. And I felt that sticking to an outline and just visualizing the content and kind of shorthanding the content rather than spelling it all out gave me more room to give a more effective talk rather than sticking to an exact script, which felt really unnatural for me. And since then, I've spoken at a couple funerals, you know, gift posts and that sort of thing. And that's what I try to do, is just stay relaxed, stick to an outline, and that gives you some wiggle room to move around within the speech. And another caller said to acknowledge the butterfly sometimes. I think that's a good tool when you get stuck somewhere to get your audience back on your side.
Actually, Matthew shook his head at that.
Well, I think you don't want your audience to see your flaws. They won't know whether you're nervous unless you're visibly shaking. They won't know whether you messed up on your speech unless you tell them. So I always think it's a good practice when we're evaluating speeches, never to
hold back on that.
To hold back, never to say, oh, so don't say I'm nervous.
Or, and then they're judging.
They're judging, right. Don't say, oh,
right,
I mess up on that.
Yeah. Well,
no one would know. You're the orchestrator of the speech. You're the director, and you know better than anybody else does.
Okay, we have to run. Thanks.
Great topic.
Thank you.
And I just want to quickly read an emailer. Annie says, now I run a cancer nonprofit, Annie Appleseed, but over 20 years ago, I listened to them all to talk about breast cancer. My mother told me, get up there as a survivor and tell my truth. Scared and shaky, I did. I know from experience that most folks cannot tell how nervous a speaker is, and over time, it does get better. I speak extemporaneously and can pitch to my audience.
Wow. Thank you, Annie. I think
that's a great message. And
good feel message.
Telling her truth.
Correct.
You know?
How about contact info for Toastmasters?
Sure. The website for Toastmasters is toastmasters.org. However, if you would like to have more information on our Toastmasters chapter, you can always email me at mrocco@broward.edu. That's mrocco, R-O-C-C-O, @broward.edu.
Okay.
Love to hear from you.
Sorry to the callers and emailers we couldn't get to.
Yeah,
Matthew Rocco is the director of the Corporate Services Department of Broward College and head of the president of the Toastmasters International at Broward College. He also leads the Linking Education and Employment Outcomes, the LEO program at Broward College. Thanks so much for being with us,
Thank
Matthew.
Thank you.
Our
Very
pleasure.
Exciting. Great. Thank you to all the called.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. If you want friends to hear it as well, we have free audio archives for download at our website, wlrn.org, also the Topical Currents Facebook page. Our program was produced by Polly Landis, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary, and lead producer Richard Ives also assisted. Tomorrow at 1, it's live coverage of the Miami-Dade School Board meeting. Bonnie and I return Thursday with another Topical Currents, which includes Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with wine columnist Fred Tasker. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.